Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life.
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Lesbians Who Write with me, your host, Claire Lydon, and the avant-garde and arresting T.B. Markinson. Hello, T.B. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I was not expecting that. You are upping your game in the intros. Well done.
I totally am. I came prepared today. So are you impressed with my preparation?
Is this something you have to brainstorm every week now?
Yeah. I've decided I'm going to go through the alphabet. So that was A. Cool. Next week we're going to have B. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to get to X. So anyway, how are you today? How's your week been? Has it been disastrous or not?
Well, I did have one disaster over the weekend. Somehow, this is going to sound weird, but I think our listeners are used to me having really weird disasters. I was taking a shower and I somehow gave myself a bloody nose. I have absolutely no idea how. I was washing my face and all of a sudden I was like, ow, my nose hurts. And I like put my hand up to it and it was this blood.
Had you punched yourself in the nose with the soap?
I must have or something. I don't know. Yeah, I know I've been a bit more cautious washing my face since I had that really huge pimple on my face. So I'm like, oh, I really need to take better care and wash my face better. And I guess I took it to a new extreme.
So, but apart from giving yourself a bloody nose in the shower, what else have you been up to this week?
Well, I need a drum roll, Claire. Can you provide a drum roll for me?
Okay, hang on.
All right, I sent off my Cotswold novel to my editor for the proofread. That Woo-hoo! Fucker is off my list at least for a couple of weeks now.
That fucker has left the building. This is how we affectionately refer to our work in progress. That fucker. Yeah, so well done. That's great news. So you've got a couple of weeks to catch up on all the things you've been putting off now.
And that's what the rest of the week has been all about. Because also this week is the big sale in iHeartLesFic, which is going along really well. Yeah, all the stuff that you stuff. I did my laundry. I washed my sheets.
Wow.
I mean, all the things she just like, let's slide.
Life goals. Life goals. TB's got clean sheets. So, and the draft's done. So it's been a good week.
Yeah, but I do have to admit, there's been a lot of cookie dough consumption because I was celebrating. So I eat cookie dough when I'm stressed and I eat cookie dough when I'm celebrating. So, yeah, the exercise routine also kicked up into a higher gear this morning to combat
okay.
the cookie dough.
We forgot to do the cookie dough in Hamilton, so you've eaten a lot of cookie dough, and I have failed to win Hamilton tickets for 5 times this week, so it's good to know, isn't it? I just got the email or the notification about 10 minutes before we came on air. On air? Sounds like we're doing a radio show, doesn't it? Which we kind of are. Whereas,
what are you going to do if you actually win the Hamilton tickets? I mean, are you just going to, like, stare at your phone in, like, total disbelief?
I will, actually. I really will. Let me tell you about my week. I went to the gym on Friday and I did this, like, mammoth workout, like, really mammoth. And I flipped tyres, you know, like that thing you see on weight loss shows where, or superhuman challenges where they flip tyres. Well, I did that up and down the gym. It's fucking hard, I tell you. Anyway, it brought on a migraine. And I don't know if it's change of the weather, maybe the menopause, who knows, or perimenopause. Yeah, I had 2 migraines this week, so it absolutely knocked my week for 6, so that hasn't been good. But also, the key thing I've been doing is catching up on Gentleman Jack. Have you been watching that?
I have not. I did read the article you posted on Twitter about the actress involved in that. I have not watched it yet. I've been catching up with Fleabag this week. Is it Fleabag? Is that the right word?
Yeah, that's hardcore, isn't it?
I was laughing so hard. I was watching it by myself and like my neighbors must think I'm absolutely insane.
It is hardcore, but Gentleman Jack is a little bit like, it's nothing like Fleabag, obviously it's a period drama, but it does do that whole talking to camera thing. So it's like a period drama mixed with Fleabag. Saran Jones in tailored clothing for the win, really. So I'm not really a period drama lover. I'm not. And I did sort of sit there the other night with my wife and say, they've got me watching a period drama because they put Saran Jones as a lesbian in it. Well, that's the way to do it.
My little historian heart is breaking. You don't like period dramas? What's wrong with
I
you?
I can't bear period dramas. I think it's all the flowy frocks and things. It's just like, no, not for me.
Dying over here.
It wouldn't be a show if I didn't cause you to die, wouldn't it, at some point in the episode. So let's get off from that then, and let's get on to our comments. Comment monitor, what we got?
Okie dokie. Our first comment comes from Claire Heighton-Stevenson, a fellow lesbian author. So hello, Claire.
Hello, Claire.
And she appreciated the name drop in the last episode. We were talking about audiobooks, and you dropped her name. And then she mentioned to me that she is mint chocolate chip ice cream all the way. And it's possible I may have mentioned that you are pretty insane for not liking it. And her comment was, well, she is a Spurs fan.
Oh, we'll see who's laughing after Saturday night when Spurs take on Liverpool. Actually, by the time this show goes out, the result will be out. So we won't talk about it.
Yes. And as I should mention that both Claire Heighton-Stevenson and myself were Liverpool fans, so... obviously we're going for Liverpool. Sorry, Claire, you're gonna go down. All right, our next comment was on Twitter by Alu. She's one of our frequent commenters, and I don't know if you remember this. I forget what episode we were talking about, but I proposed a crazy mashup of different genres that an author should not take on because it would be hard to categorize and hard to promote. But she talked to me. She posted on Twitter an actual photo of a book she was reading with the cover, and it was Amish Vampires in Space. So kudos to Alu for one-upping me with an actual published book with a crazy mashup. I appreciate it. And if there are listeners out there who have come across other crazy mashups, please let us know, because I do like to stay on top of all these different weird things. All right, and then we have Donna, who commented on episode 14. She appreciated all the enormous amount of info. This was our audiobook one where we dropped a lot of stats. And she says she hasn't warmed up to audiobooks yet, and she's quite picky about podcasts. And I'm thinking, since she comments on our podcast episodes, that we have made the cut. So I appreciate that little comment. And then Carol's back from Lesbie Reviewed, and she thanked us. This was on episode 14. She thanks us for all the valuable details. She found it interesting as a reader and a blogger. And we brighten up her day when she listens, because we make her giggle. So, and then Mira's back on episode 14. She thought it was a cool episode, and she was blown away by all the audiobook facts. So I think we need to start adding more facts to our episodes. We need to start backing up our talk a bit.
Well, adding facts and being like, you know, all prepared. Okay. I don't think it'll catch on, but, you know, we could try.
Again, the historian in me is dying to do it. And then we have one last comment from Kathy. It came via email. She also loves mint chocolate chip, and she gave me a mint chocolate chip ice cream recipe that involves chocolate pie crust with hot fudge drizzled on top, which I am definitely going to have to try. Oh, Claire, I love your face.
I mean, pie crust and, you know, was it toffee? That sounds great, but why would you infiltrate it with mint? I was just eating mint Tic Tacs because I've run out of pineapple and coconut, and... God, it's really disappointing. Mint Tic Tacs. They really are. It's just not worth the calories, is it? And they're only 2 calories a Tic Tac. Fact fans. You see? I'm already backing things up with more facts. Tic Tac facts.
Okay, listeners, I need some help. All the people who love mint chocolate chip ice cream, let me know how cool I am and how much Claire sucks.
Shall we get on to the topic of the day, which is... writing lesbian sex scenes. And for those of you watching on the webcam, you're not, because I'm lying. There isn't a webcam. So no matter how much you would like there to be one, maybe we might do it down the line, but not for this one. So writing lesbian sex scenes, TB. I have a question for you to kick things off. Do you remember writing your first ever lesbian sex scene?
I don't know. I wrote that book. I published it in... 2013 or 2014, I can't remember now, and that's a while ago, but I do remember, actually, that book, because when it was being edited by my fabulous editor, Karen Cox, she inserted a comment in one of the chapters saying, you know, if you plan to take this past romance and into erotica, insert sex scene here, And I ran it by my partner at the time. I was like, what do you think? Should I make it romance or should I make it erotica? And my partner was like, well, you already do kind of write dirty books. And I was kind of taken aback by that because I was like, I didn't think I wrote dirty books. And that was even before I started writing Girl Love Happens, which actually is a lesbian erotica series. It made me think about people's perception of, like, if you do include a handful of sex scenes, and I don't really think there was more than 3 or 4 in that one, does that classify it as erotica or is that classified as romance?
I don't think it's the amount of sex scenes. For me, erotica focuses more on the sex, whereas romance focuses more on story. I know you said to me before that your erotica had quite a lot of story in it anyway, but I don't know. I'm not well versed in erotica. I haven't read very much of it, if any at all, maybe one or two. So, but for me, that would be the difference. But I don't think 3 or 4 sex scenes does that tip it into erotica? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe there's a website that says if you've got 4 sex scenes, you are therefore erotica.
I would love a place where we can look and be like, okay, this is how many sex scenes you need for a romance. This is how many sex scenes you need for erotica. And then what about some of the sex scenes that aren't actually super about the sex, but it's more about getting intimate and then you fade to black? How does that factor in? I mean, there's a lot of different criteria here. This would be quite intensive study. Not that I want to take it on, but if there's listeners out there who want to break it down.
In between your next book, you know, in between your next books, just do yourself a study. No problem.
Just start reading a lot of sex.
Yeah. So when I posed this question to myself, I agreed with you because I thought, oh, I must remember writing my first sex scene, but I don't. I'm the same as you. I do remember. I knew it was going to be on the horizon, and I knew I hadn't ever written a sex scene before, but I remember I had a whole thought process on the language that I should use for certain body parts.
Yes.
Because having not written one before, I wasn't sure. And I hadn't read that much lesbian romance then. You know, I probably read like 10 lesbian romances or something like that. So not very many. And I wasn't sure of the language. And I wanted it to be contemporary and quite real. So I wrote the whole first book using the word cunt. Because it's it's one of my favourite words. I like words beginning with C. Very sort of sound. So custard books, and Caspian is my favorite word, and cunt, love it. But I was told by one of my beta readers to change the C word because people get angsty about it. So I did. I took the advice, and it was probably good advice. So I remember sort of then thinking, oh, well, this is a whole different thing that you don't have to think about in any other scene. And then I was like, should I go down the pussy route? it's like, and then it's just like, there isn't, but obviously sex scenes aren't about body parts. They're more about emotion and release for the characters. You have to come up with different ways to portray your characters' emotions. But I do remember the first sex scene being a big thing about what language I should use.
Yes, I spend a lot of time, and if anyone ever told me this when I was in college, taking all those classes that actually don't apply to what I actually do for a living, but apparently it was a necessary thing to do. but if anyone ever told me how much time I would spend thinking about different words for clit, boobs, pussy, ass, buttocks,
buttocks,
thrusting, hammering, pounding, and trying to make it romantic.
That, you know, they should run a class on this, shouldn't they? Because, you know, it's kind of needed, because I have read some very bad sex scenes, and they tend to be the ones that focus on the mechanics and use words, yes, like, use words like hammering. Do you use the word hammering very much?
I do sometimes with the, it depends on the scene, especially in the erotica, right, series.
Yeah.
Because they're, I mean, obviously, like you were saying, erotica, it focuses more on the sex, and the reason I chose erotica for Girl Love Happens because it's a new adult love story between a woman who's never had sex with another woman, and she really hasn't had much sexual experience to begin with. And usually at that age, when you're younger and you first start exploring sex, it's a fun new thing and you want to have more sex. So So that's why I chose erotica for that particular series, because it is an exploration of, you know, her first female experience and also just first experiences with sex overall. So, but I do think when you're writing a lesbian romance scene, especially for a romance, you can't focus just on the mechanics of sex. I think that's where a lot of authors get it wrong, because it's so much more. Sex in real life, in novels and everything, it's about the bond. It's about how people are relating to each other during it. And for me, a sex scene in a romance has to further the story. It has to do something for the characters. Are they becoming closer? Are they tearing apart? Is it makeup sex? But it has to relate to the story. You can't just throw in a gratuitous sex scene and just be like, all right, we're just going to talk about a bunch of clits here and then move on. It has to build on the story. I'm sorry, Claire. Did that surprise you?
I'm just imagining the characters sitting around talking about clits. And that's that, you know, I don't think that scene's been written. So maybe you could write that.
The dissection of clits. Wait, that's the wrong way to put it. Wrong way.
Ouch, yeah. Readers. That's a sadomasochism novel that TB's yet to write. I'm never sure which is the right one, sadist or masochist. So I just say them both, just to cover all bases. I've never quite got the hang of those two words. Besides, my books are quite romantic, so I'm not going to have any sadomasochism in them. Although maybe my books might take a weird turn one day, you never know. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about this ring bind. You know the A4... ring binders that you used to keep all your notes in at university and college. The ones that click.
That's just the size of the paper, right? For
yeah.
You guys?
So the ones that click open and close, the metal.
Yeah.
Right, those. So I had one of those when I was doing my A levels. So I must have been about 17, 18. And I was doing an English language A level. I just remember I used to doodle most of the lessons because I've got terrible attention span. And what I used to do was I used to write down smutty words or words about sex. And the whole back cover, the inside of my ring binder, was just filled with moist and, you know, clit and cunt and pussy. So I was an erotica stroke lesbian romance writer in training, even though I didn't know it, in those early English language lessons when I was 17. So that's when I first started noting down all the words that I would later be using frequently in my sex scenes. So it's good to know that I got started early, wasn't it?
So while you were writing sex words, I was writing down historical dates.
So, I'm not sure what that says about us going forward. I'll ponder it and I'll get back to you. But yeah, I mean, what are some of the key things that writers should be considering when they're writing sex scenes? I think, as we said, one of them is think about why the character's doing it. It's not just about sex. It's about the character experience something or letting go. You know, and the advice that you just gave is don't just write a sex scene for gratuitous reasons. I don't actually mind that. I think it's all right every now and again. Don't worry about moving the stories forward if it's a great sex scene, but you can always kind of move it forward, can't you? There's normally a point to them, even if you're not sure of it in the beginning.
Obviously, if you're writing a great sex scene, A, the readers are going to like it, but I can't see how you would be able to write a great sex scene without making the characters become closer.
Yes, I was thinking more of people are like, oh, it has to really move things forward, but it's always going to move something forward.
We're writing romance, so if there is a sex scene, it obviously our characters are either falling for each other, or they're cementing their love, or they're getting over that massive fight they have to have at the 3-quarter mark. Your characters are still connecting, and I think, because I asked one of my narrators, Stephanie Murphy, who narrates the A Woman Lost series, because there's quite a few sex scenes in those books. And I asked her, I was like, is it hard for you to narrate the sex scenes? Because when I'm editing them, I'm always kind of like closing my eyes. My second draft, I barely read my sex scenes over because they do make me kind of cringe a little bit. Because, I don't know, I'm American. We're very Puritan, I guess. And I asked her, I was like, are they hard for you to narrate? And she's like, well, yours, she gave me a very nice compliment. She's like, yours are easier to narrate than some because there's a lot of feeling and emotion in your sex scenes. It's not just place hand here, place tongue here, you know, like, there's more to it. And I thought that was a really nice thing for her to say. I don't know if she was just, like, trying to flatter me because she likes narrating the books, but it was good to hear as a romance author that my sex scenes, they matter, damn it.
That is the thing, isn't it? That sex scenes are not about sex. They're about emotion and feeling. And if you want to get them right, you've got to place all the emphasis on that. And then, you know, slip and slide in and out and shake it all about throughout all the emotions. We're doing really well here, aren't we? I think the other thing that people get wrong, and I've seen this used really badly in the past, is using cliches. And again, you know, sex scenes are no different to any other scene. So, you know, this can go for any scene you're writing. Don't use cliched language, and also don't use old-fashioned language or flowery language like lady garden or love mound or things like that that just really, really make me stop and throw me out of a story.
I have to ask you, because you listed words earlier that you put in your binder. Mm. Do you use the word moist?
No. As a general rule, no. It used to be one of my very favourite words. I still quite like it. I've still got an affection. But I think it's no. I think moist now I tend to use if I'm talking about a cake.
Yeah. Because, I mean, people hate the word moist.
They do.
Don't use moist or cunt.
Yeah, I think that's
our top tips for today.
Yeah, I think that's a general rule. Do not use the words moist or cunt when you're writing a sex scene. You were saying that you don't read back your second draft. So for me, when I'm writing one, I don't have to be in a sexy mood to write a sex scene. But I think it helps if you are. You don't have to be, but I think it really helps if you are really connected with your characters and really in the moment for that. And that is the key to getting a really good sex scene. As I said, just like any scene, I don't think I've ever turned myself on while writing a sex scene. I can categorically say that. However, I have when I've read it back. And I always think, if I read it back in the edit and I'm getting turned on, then that's a good sign. If I'm not, then it needs a bit of work. I carry on until I turn myself on.
I do have a funny story about listening to one of your audiobooks, actually. I was listening you were kind enough to give me you were kind enough to give me a code for, I think it was London Calling. I usually listen to audiobooks this was when I was still living in London, and I listen to audiobooks when I'm walking. So sometimes when a sex scene comes on, it could be kind of embarrassing because I'm wandering through parts of London and there's a sex scene going on in my head. And I was listening to your book, and I was going to Brompton Cemetery. And there was going to be a tour. I think it was like a feminist tour. I rocked up to this group where it had a bunch of ladies in their 60s and 70s and such. And there was a sex scene going on in my headphones. And I just, like, I knew my face was this bright red. And I was like, I'm just going to turn this off now.
I like to think that all around the world, there are people with my sex scenes in their headphones. Just wandering around their day-to-day life. I know, I do remember quite recently when I was audio-proofing London Actually, book 5 in the London Romance series, and I was walking from my house to the Tube, and my house to the Tube is a 25-minute walk. So I walked to the Tube and I put it on, and I must have just stopped it just before a sex scene. And the audio takes quite a long time to read the sex scene, doesn't it?
Yes.
So I think half my journey to the Tube, I really remember it. Walking down, and there was just this sex scene, and I was cringing. So don't think that it's always the same thing. Like, maybe sometimes I'll think, hey, that's a good sex scene, but then the next time I hear it, I'll think, oh my god. Like you said, once I'm done with a book, I generally don't read it back, or I don't re-listen, because I've read it a million times and I've listened to it as well, so I don't go back. So then if I'm forced to go back and reread. Like, I don't reread any of my sex scenes, so I'm fairly sure that they wouldn't be all the same. I'm sure there are some linking characteristics, but they're all different characters, so they wouldn't be the same thing. But it would be excruciating to go back and listen, because I'm sure I think they were all terrible. Have you got any examples of great lesbian sex scenes that you've read or listened to? Apart from mine, obviously.
I'm trying to think on the spot here. Harper Bliss has written some fantastic, not just romance, but also erotica. And I would have to, especially if listeners are wanting to learn how to write great sex scenes, obviously listen to Claire's sex scene. Preferably around 60-year-old woman to see how much you blush.
And then, in a cemetery.
Yes, in a cemetery, no less. Yeah, there were so many things wrong with that whole scenario. I would recommend Harper Bliss quite a bit, actually. What about you?
I agree with you. I think Harper does write a great sex scene. I think it's a real strength of hers. And they're not easy to do, so kudos to her. Honestly, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking any book where you were really invested in the characters and you just can't wait for them to take the next step, and it's like, oh, you're as desperate, you're desperate for it to happen. You're like, just kiss each other and get into bed, for God's sake. Oh, you know, where are we going to do it? Then for me, it doesn't matter if it's like the absolute best sex scene in the world, because if you're invested in the characters and the character development has been great, then the sex scene just has to carry on that. I was thinking about it and playing the role of herself. I love that book, and I still remember the sex scene in all the sex scenes in that book, because it's probably one I've read the most. And recently I read Recipe for Love by Aurora Ray, and I really liked the sex scene in that because it was a strap-on sex scene, and it was done really well, and it was done, she laid the groundwork for it really well, and so I like something that's a little bit different, and so I recommend that. I haven't read anything else of hers, but I thought she did it really well.
I'll have to give that one a listen, probably the next time I'm in a cemetery.
What about you and your sex scenes? Do you think, have you got one that you think, yes, I nailed that bucker?
Was that intentional?
It really wasn't. Oh, God. I think anything can be. Let me back up my truck of double entendres. Here it comes.
None are coming to mind. I mean, all of them kind of blur together, really. I just finished a draft of my 21st novel this week. And it's not just the sex scenes. All of the storylines, sometimes they just kind of blur together, and I can't really remember what happened in which book, and when I'm, especially if I'm working on the next book, like in the Lizzie series, I have to go back and refresh my memory. And I do block out the sex scenes. They just are, I'm very American on that level.
TB is a prude. Here's what we're learning.
I just think it's ingrained in us. I don't know. Not one is popping out. I guess if I had to choose a series, it would have to be Girl Love Happens, because it does explore the sex a bit more, because that's kind of the point of the whole series, sexual exploration. So I also think the romance between Lizzie and Sarah in A Woman Lost, I think the romance there really does kind of shine through on that one. And that's the one readers really seem to like the most. What about you? Do you have a favorite of yours? Which one got you the hottest?
I know that there are a couple I've read back, and honestly, I thought, what was I on when I wrote those? Was I off my tits when I wrote these sex scenes? But people seem to like them, so okay. But yeah, there are a couple that I've read back like a couple of years after I'm gone. What the fuck? But I think some of the best sex scenes I've written, strangely, are in the All I Want series. And that, I like to say, is my cult series, i.e. it didn't sell that well. So only a select band of people have read those sex scenes. But I think those sex scenes, I had to be a little bit more inventive with them, basically, because the series was about a couple over the first year of their relationship. And so it wasn't all first sex and honeymoon period sex, as most romance books are. They had makeup sex. They had we are about to break up sex. We've gotten through the past 2 years together, and we're still together sex. And so, and also included a bad sex scene in the lead up to the couple, the main couple getting together, like this woman had a one night stand and it was dreadful. So
I remember that.
So I think I had to be a bit more inventive with that series. And I think because of that, it made me do different things. I think one of the things with romance books is that because the couple don't know each other as well, and because they're just you know, they're just having their first sex, they're not as likely to go crazy, you know, because you don't know each other as well. So you're just feeling things out literally and metaphorically. Whereas if you've been having sex with somebody for the past year, you might be doing all different things. And so I think that reflected in that series. And I think that's why those sex scenes are just a little bit different. But I think that, you know, all the sex scenes I do, they're emotionally based and feelings based, because that's what ladies like. And that's what ladies are. I'm just one big mass of emotion and feeling.
Well, it's also romance. I mean, romance, you have to have the emotions and feelings, or otherwise it's just the wrong genre.
Otherwise, oh my God, I've written a thriller. What's going on? I think as well, the one night stand, like the Long Weekend was the same as well, because that isn't a romance. So like there was two sex scenes in that, and one was a one night stand not quite a one night stand, but it was like a hot sex scene in a bar. And then the other one was like a couple that had been together for years having makeup sex. So they were very different, those two sex scenes, because they had to be, because they're different. So again, it's coming back to everything is character led. Some parting words on writing sex scenes then, TB. If a new writer is coming to it, what are the key things that they need to remember?
Well, like we said, you have to have the emotions and you have to have the feelings, especially if it is a romance. I mean, if you're writing a sex scene in a different genre, I mean, it could be a little bit more clinical. But I think a lot of readers or listeners, if it's audiobook, they do want to see the connection, or they do want to see, or if it's one of those, if it's like a enemies to lovers, they want to see like the actual true ripping clothes off passion and such, but that's also another level of feelings. The first sex scene you're going to write is not going to hit all the points you want it to. You're going to have to, this is going to make sound weird, you're going to have to read some sex scenes. You're going to have to practice this. And so you're going to have to take your time. And like Clara was saying, you have to be in the mood, because there have been times where I've been working on a draft and I've arrived at a sex scene and where I just will write insert sex here and then come back to it. Because if you're not in the mood, it's going to come through that you're just, I don't know how to say this without being really crude. Help me out, Claire. How do I want to say this?
Say it.
Oh, that's not helping.
Is that not helping?
It's just going to come off too clinical. It's going to come off as really passionless. It's gonna be boring, and it's not gonna be a great scene. And readers really look forward to great sex, so you don't want to do it when you're in a really, really bad mood. I don't recommend it. I recommend writing the black moment if you're in a really bad mood.
I would echo that, and I would also say that you're not a lesbian romance writer if you haven't written insert sex scene here. Everybody does it. I even saw Georgia Beers, she put up one of her works in progress, and she thought on one of her social media channels, and she thought she'd finished it, and she was just reading through it, and she found an insert sex scene here, and she put it up on Facebook. I'm like, that, oh, it's harsh. You thought it was done, and then you forgot to do the sex scene. I think most books I do, not all of them, but maybe about 50% of them, I put insert sex scene here, and I come back to it. So, but don't leave them all to the last time, the last day, because I think TB did that with a recent book. She left all three to right at the end, and then had to write three in one day, whether she liked it or not. So always remember that if you have a go at a sex scene, even if you're not like bang in the mood, but if you have a go at it, then at least you can edit it, because you can always come back and edit it, because it's just like any other scene, you can edit them. And so that's the key thing I think to take away, is don't overthink them. Just be in the character's head like you would be in any of the other scenes, and just go with the flow.
So sometimes if you are in the middle of a sex scene and you've just run out of steam, I have actually inserted finish sex scene here, because again, like I said, you don't want to.
I wonder what you're going to say then. That was a great pause after the word inserted.
Finish sex. I think I finally broke Claire on this episode. I've been trying and she's gone.
Oh, I think we have to wrap up, because I can't take any more of the double entendres. I hope I hope that this has been useful. I hope at least we've given you a laugh. I think we've been sufficiently embarrassed and sufficiently cringy. So thank you so much for joining us this week, and tune back in next week when we will be discussing...
Should you go indie or should you choose a publisher?
Oh, should you go indie or should you choose a publisher? Lots to discuss next week. All right, take care.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much, and see you next time.